Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say, huh?
Here we are now. Entertain us.
Made of fail.
We never promised content.
Okay, at this point, you're abusing sarcasm.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road. Help me out here.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome yet again to Made of Fail. I am Kevin.
I am a just recently Rickrolled Dana.
And she is back, for good, hopefully. So...
yeah, baby.
Anyway,
we're kicking
it
old
you.
School tonight.
We missed you, Dana. We missed you a great deal.
Are you plural?
Yes, I
am. You should
am.
Lose some weight.
No, I enrolled in the Royal College of England.
Mm.
Yes.
Totally kicking it old school nights. You, me, got my bottle of root beer so I know when the show's over. It's all good, man. What are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend?
What did you do this weekend?
Oh, well.
How was your weekend?
It was actually my sister's 14th birthday, which is actually today, Monday. But for her birthday present, what I did on Saturday was take her up to Fright Fest up at Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a blast. She's taking after you more than she's taking after anyone else. She's really...
Is this that same sister that your parents wouldn't allow you to take to Flashback Weekend a couple years ago?
Yes. But who absolutely loves Nightmare on Elm Street, is a huge horror fan. She's
yeah, but she said it wasn't scary. I'm never going to forgive her.
No,
I feel like
you know.
Well, guess what I got this weekend?
What did you get this weekend?
The most generous freaking present ever. Last episode we mentioned we got a letter from our... I feel weird because I only know his screen name and I don't know his real name. And somebody that generous, I want to know their real name. Our listener Quickstar, upon learning of my dire plight that I didn't have Dragon Quest IV and it had been out for, oh my god, you know, 32 hours already and I was, you know, tweaking out, man.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, I've got an Amazon gift certificate in my inbox.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're getting Perks of Fame, and I just, right away, like first 2 minutes of the show, I wanted to say thank you so, so much to Quickstar. You are the leader of our legion of followers, and it's all because you bought me off.
I wonder what his girlfriend will think about that.
I don't really care. I got a free game.
You are a horrible, horrible person.
Playing it nonstop, and I'm already at the Zenithian Castle. I'm going to do a full review of it after I beat it, which at this rate should not be that much long. But, God, thank you again. You're like my favorite listener ever.
Well, that is pretty awesome. So, yeah, thanks, Quickstar.
Yeah, my husband says it's because... it's because of that promo card that I did where I'm in the stockings and everything.
And the handcuffs?
Yeah. You think if I flash some boob that I'll get a PS3?
I'm going to veto that.
All right.
Just going to put that out there right now. That you can't put that out there right now.
Well, maybe you should.
I
Show
could, but
light,
I'd,
a free game.
I don't want to drive away the new legion of listeners that we got since the last episode that we did. We've been
Cleo Linda for doubling our listeners
more than
and welcome aboard.
Yeah, it's we've got people listening to us that we don't know on a first name basis anymore. That's a first. That is a made a fail first right here. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Very happy about that.
That is
so. I
want to
say hi to all our new
ever.
Listeners and hope you stick with us because we got some really awesome shows planned.
Yes, though we are planning on driving you all away by episode 15, just a warning.
Oh, right.
Well, don't tell me you forgot about that.
Oh, believe me, I didn't.
Anyway, so what do we have up on the roster tonight, Dana?
Well, I have, I hope not too lengthy of a why stuff is awesome, but it's going to be hard for me to keep this short because there's just so much.
What's awesome this week?
I'm going to be doing Why Peter David is Awesome. And on the off chance our listeners don't know who he is, He's mostly well known inside the comics industry, but mm-hmm. he also does novels. He's done some scripts for, I believe, Babylon 5. He calls himself a writer of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's been in comics since the early 80s. And he's written so many comics that, by necessity alone, I'm just going to have to gloss right over him. But he started over at Marvel doing Spectacular Spider-Man, the Death of Jean DeWolf storyline. And everybody loved that so much that they gave him The Incredible Hulk. And I can't off the top of my head think of how many years that lasted, but it was a really, really long time, and it became a super fan favorite. And they used some of his themes from that book in the Ang Lee Hulk movie that we're all pretending never existed.
Like Highlander 2 and Star Trek 5.
Yeah. but as it got into the 90s, he started doing a ton of work for DC, including some Aquaman work. And that actually got people interested in Aquaman, which is impossible to do. But it ended up being really cool.
That's what brought him back to the first string?
To the what?
To the first string. Made him A-list again.
Yeah, Aquaman got A-list. Because Peter David likes to take these, you know, kind of slumpy characters and pull them back up. Kind of like Gail Simone does, only he was doing it first.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was writing at that time Young Justice, which was kind of a sillier, slightly younger Teen Titans, which eventually Young Justice did get canceled to become a new Teen Titans book. And he did a huge 80-issue run on Supergirl, which was my introduction to his work and eventually to the man himself. Do you remember Yahoo Groups? They're still around. Nobody will admit to it.
they're still around, unfortunately, but yeah.
Anyway, I was a member of the Supergirl Yahoo group back in the day. That's where I spent most of my internet time in the late 90s before I discovered LiveJournal and gave up on a personal life altogether.
Mm-hmm.
well, Peter was posting frequently on that group, and we all sat around. We had a great time. We were talking about some of the themes of the storylines, you know, characters, whatever we wanted. Eventually, I just started emailing him myself a couple of times. He always took a minute to get back to me, and he'd tease me about future issues because he's a royal bastard. But he was always, you know, he wanted to hear people's feedback on the books. You know, just because you're a huge name writer, it doesn't mean you still don't want to know personally what people think. And I thought that was really cool. And even more eventually, I love this story. This is the best story ever.
I think this is one of the first stories you told me when we first met.
Yeah, but I want to tell everybody else because, you know,
it's an awesome story.
Why he's awesome. I mentioned in episode 5, it was 5, that I write fantasy novels that are no good and you can't read them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in my early 20s and I still thought these things were publishable, I emailed Peter and I was asking for advice on how to secure a literary agent. Now, he didn't answer me directly. He went above and beyond for me. He forwarded my email and a link to my website where sample chapters are up, which I didn't even know he had the link to, much less he'd looked at,
mm-hmm.
sent that to his literary agent. I mean, I got shot down politely by the agent, but holy monkeys, who goes out of their way to do something like that for someone like me?
Peter David.
So that's why Peter David, the guy, is awesome.
To this day, he's still, and I mentioned this in a previous episode, I don't remember which one, but he still knows you as Queen Anne Thigh. And you were telling me one of the first times we actually hung out in person, we went to that comedy club for my birthday, that when you went to meet him at a convention of some sort, and you went up to his table, and he actually recognized you as Queen Anne Thigh.
Yeah, it's just, you're putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, by the way. It's Anthi, which is my default internet name pretty much everywhere, except ironically, LiveJournal, which is Sweet Dragon.
Well, you've never actually said it in, well, you did at the time, but it was only the one time that you actually said it vocally. I don't remember how you had said it before.
It's okay. Fantasy names are notoriously unpronounceable, but anyway, so that's why Peter David the guy is awesome. Now Peter David the writer is awesome almost by default. I want to talk about my favorite comic of his just in a second, but I really just had to share that story because there are very few genuinely good-hearted people, not to mention famous people in the world, And Peter David is just absolutely one of them. And so I'm going to respect him for, like, the rest of my life. He can do no wrong by me.
He's pretty awesome. Yep.
He's a great guy. Funny as hell, too. Anyway, so to the comic. Back in 2003, after Supergirl was canceled, Peter started doing a book called Fallen Angel for DC. And that was to explore a couple of themes that he'd wanted to get to in Supergirl, but he never had the chance. So he decided to address them with all new characters. And it ran for 21 issues over at DC, and it tanked. You know, low sales, DC's really kind of merciless about that sort of thing. But it got rebooted over at IDW Publishing in late 2005, and it's been really selling strong ever since. You don't need to read the DC title to read the one over at IDW, but if you want to pick up the trades or back issues from DC, it's a nice prologue to what's going on in Volume 2. And Fallen Angel is, like I said, it's one of my favorite comics. I will always pick it up, you know, no matter how poor I am. Mm-hmm. It's a story of an actual fallen angel named Leandra. She calls herself Lee. Lee was one of God's guardian angels who saw one of her charges, who she was particularly close to, because weirdly enough, it was a little girl. And from birth, she could see Lee, and that isn't technically supposed to happen, so they had a very strong connection to one another. And then one day, the little girl was brutally murdered right in front of Lee, and Lee decided she was going to kill the murderer in revenge, and God doesn't take too kindly to that sort of thing, and he won't take that crap from his angels. Mm-hmm. So he cast her down from heaven, made her mortal, but left her a few superpowers, you know, just because he still loved her and wanted her to be able to defend herself.
Right.
So she traveled the world for a while, and she settled in the city of Bete Noire, which is, we found out in the DC series, that it's actually the modern name for the biblical city of, I can't pronounce this, Enoch?
E-N-O-C-H?
Yeah, okay, yeah, what do you know, silly Jew? But supposedly, in the Fallen Angel mythology, that's where the descendants of Cain have ruled as magistrate from, you know, time immemorial. And I love this idea. I am constantly pestering Peter to focus more on the workings of Bete Noire itself, because I think it's just totally fascinating. The city is supposed to be, quote unquote, the city that shapes the world, meaning that what happens in the city affects major events in the rest of the world. And it's got kind of it's kind of alive. It's got, what's the word I'm looking for? Sentient, sort of. And mm-hmm. The city decides who stays, who goes, and every citizen of the city has a specific purpose.
Ooh.
Which is really cool.
And, that's a really neat concept, yeah.
I really, Bete Noire, even more than Lee, is my favorite creation of Peter's, and I always love hearing more about it, and I'm just merciless about it. I pick on him all the times, like, tell more about the city, and it's kind of, the title's kind of hip deep in a major storyline at the moment. So you can't really get into it right this second if you're a new reader, but I would definitely recommend picking up absolutely every back issue or trade paperback you can, because, I mean, this is not a fast food superhero comic. You know, this is epic, mythic storytelling, and you can probably get people who are into that sort of thing. You could probably get them in a Fallen Angel, even if they don't ordinarily read comics. They're two volumes of the DC series right now in trade, and I believe there's two from IDW, but IDW is releasing an omnibus of the first 21 issues in March of 2009, and if you pre-order it on Amazon right now, it's only $14, which is really freaking cheap.
Yeah,
I would definitely grab it.
Definitely.
And so that is why Peter David is awesome.
Nice. That... He also...
I had to gloss over so much stuff.
Well,
I had to cut up everything.
Like Fantastic Four 1602, which really, really awesome, but that's an entirely different story altogether. That actually brings me to another topic that I'd actually been thinking about and talking to other people about lately. I made a post in my live journal not too long ago about... Dana, you and I are both writers, or we both like to think that we're writers, at the very least, right?
It's a sweet delusion.
Yes, it maybe one day if we keep telling ourselves that, one day we'll believe it.
Well, I can take a pen and with my hand I can form words. So yeah, I'm a writer.
Okay, well there you go. But specifically, we both tend to like writing fiction, and we have different writing styles, I've noticed. We've got fairly different writing styles, and it's kind of a thing that is partial due to education and partial due to all the influence that we've been under from all of our favorite authors, everything that we've ever read, ever.
Yeah, my strengths are more in characterization and witty dialogue, but I get a lot of criticism for not making it, you know, like very long chapters. I'm very bad with description and actually coming up with believable scenarios, so to speak. You know, it's like, you know, you can only fight so many random monsters before it gets repetitive. I tend to get repetitive.
Okay.
I tend to get repetitive.
Do you?
Sorry. Yeah, I tend to get repetitive.
Thank you, Mojo Jojo.
Don't do that to me. Anyway, go ahead with your point.
Well, I guess that means that our writing styles aren't so different after all, because those are pretty much my strengths. And I made this whole big list, and I've got a lot of writers on my friends list that I hoped would participate in this little study that I was doing. So, but I was listing my strengths and weaknesses as I saw them as a writer. And I mean, like you, I've got really good characterization, dialogue. I like to think that I'm pretty good at focus. I take one or two characters and I really focus on them, and I do specific situations, and that kind of is a double-edged sword, honestly, because then you start to get into restricting the possibilities that you have, both with perspectives and other kinds of narration that you may want to go through.
Yeah, I tend to, the stuff that I'm writing is sort of focusing first-person present, which is really limiting, but it allows me to explore each of my characters in a lot more depth than I could ordinarily.
Well, present
which
tense
is something
always
comes
to
give
me a Wiggins anyway. It's just one of those things that it's really, really hard to do well. Everybody does it at one point or another, but it's really hard to do well. And first person is
Call
another thing.
Call me Ishmael.
It's really hard to do well. You see different people take it on in the literary world, and I think, I mean, yeah, Moby Dick, that's one of the better first-person novels that you see. One of my favorite and examples of this is I, Jedi by Michael Stackpole, who's one of my favorite science fiction writers. He does some Star Wars Expanded Universe novels. He's also got a few of his own fantasy novels going right now that are really, really good. He's one of my favorite writers, but he did this one book as an experiment and did it entirely in first person, one perspective, and something that's incredibly limiting, but he pulled it off. It's something that I think a lot of people, if they try, really, it really doesn't work out very well. He pulled it off. But I tend to, you know, do third person, past tense, which is really the way you should write novels anyway.
Yeah, omniscient third. But you know, I can actually switch back and forth. I'm good at both. Mm-hmm. It's just that with the ones that I'm writing right now, well, I shouldn't say that because I haven't touched it since January of 2006. But the ones I'm doing now are sort of character studies, and then I've got a prologue series to the one that I'm doing, and that's going to be third person, you know, standard. So I've got it all planned out. It's just I need to get off my ass and do it.
And that brings up another point. I mean, like I said, a lot of my friends are writers for themselves, for other people. They write fiction, original fiction. They write fan fiction of various sorts. And it's one of those things that everybody tries it at one point and to see if they like it, and it just so happens that a lot of my friends just stuck with it, which kind of makes me wonder, and that's going to bring me to this episode's web poll, which I say this episode, but like I do a web poll every single episode, but you know, this episode's web poll, out of everybody who is the listener here and everybody who's a writer, what are your strengths and weaknesses as a writer and as you see them? And possibly, if you can take a step back, and what have other people said were strengths and weaknesses about your writing that you wouldn't necessarily agree with?
Yeah, it's really hard to take a step back and look at your own writing objectively unless you've, you know, shelved it for a couple of years and don't look at it, which is something that Stephen King has recommended in his really great book called On Writing, which every writer should have a copy of.
Every writer. It's absolutely wonderful. Stephen King is one of my literary influences, honestly. I take a lot of my characterization and dialogue cues from reading his books, and yeah. It's a wonderful writer.
Well, another book on writing that you should pick up if you tend more towards the fantasy genre is Sometimes the Magic Works by Terry Brooks, which focuses mainly on fantasy. So it's mm-hmm. it's geared more specifically towards people like me. But yeah, as far as weaknesses in writing, it's really hard to be objective about your own. I mean, I'll write stuff. I started writing my stuff when I was 15 years old, and it was mm-hmm. pure crap, and I burned the original drafts. it's like as I grew older and learned more about the writing craft, I was able to look at it and say, this is retarded. And I mean, what I have now in my first book bears zero resemblance to what it started out as. And it took me like maybe 3 years to even finish my first book because I kept going back and rewriting like the first 10 chapters over and over and over again because I kept getting better. And right. One of the smartest things I ever did was I joined a literary group, a writer's group, in my old hometown in Illinois. And that was when I was like 17 years old. And it's all well and good for people to tell you, well, I like this and this and this, but they churned the best work out of me when they were like, this is crap. And here's why, you know, it would, you know, when people take a hatchet to your work, it really stings. But ultimately, it's really best for the story. And I learned a lot of lessons about beta reading mm-hmm. from that writer's group. So I'm really good at taking a hatchet to people's work and telling them, you know, it'll work better if you do this and this and this. It's just that nobody listens to me because they're all writers. But, you know, I like being able to help out and give. It's constructive criticism in its mm-hmm. purest form as it was intended.
And that's another thing. If you're going to be a writer, no matter how seriously, even if you just do it for yourself or your friends, you have to be able to let someone else say, okay, this sucks. Provided, of course, they say, this is why this sucks. Here's why.
And here's what
I
you can do better.
You can do
Don't
better.
Just, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I made that post in my live journal, not only saying what I thought my strengths and weaknesses were, which I think I have a pretty good handle on what my weaknesses are. I can list them if you won't really want to. It was also an invitation for my friends who are familiar with my writing to say, well, here are some other things that we think you should work on. And yeah. That's it. And even though I only got like one or two responses like that, I was hoping for a lot more.
I'm very sorry. Can I tell you the reason I didn't do it?
You're not very familiar with my writing. You've
not
seen a lot of
it. Besides that, but what you're writing right now is a genre I'm not interested in, to be honest with you. That's sort of fan fiction-y.
Oh, I'm doing it right now to get back into writing. I haven't actually written anything in over a year, and
but that's good. That's good, man. It's just like getting back into exercise, like any other muscle. You got to work your brain.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's something that's fun and really doesn't matter too much if I tank because it's just written for me and my friends. It's a lot of fun and it just, so I'm not rusty anymore. And I was originally going to use it as a stepping stone so that I was back in the writing groove for...
Well, what's problematic about getting into that groove, because I have writer's block for years on end, and then out of nowhere I'll suddenly be, like, super prolific. Motivational factors, I have found, it's really when... I just keep getting distracted by, A, real life, and B, I'm always hip-deep in video games. And
mm-hmm. Well, I was talking to Jillian about this, and she keeps saying, because how many little story things have I started up in my live journal alone and abandoned after like one or two chapters? It's something that I lose motivation very easily, and that's one of my biggest weaknesses, which I noticed. But another thing is, and I was talking to Jillian about this, and she said that it's possibly because I kept getting negative comments and criticism. And I was like, no, honestly, it was actually because it seemed like pretty much nobody cared, and I wasn't getting...
Well, you shouldn't do it for other people. You should do it for you. You should do it because there should be an inner motivation. When you're a real writer, you write because you have to. And a really good way to motivate yourself is to read things. You gotta read all the time if you're a writer.
Stephen King says this in On Writing, and everybody who has read this has agreed with him, and I agree with him there. He says if you're going to be a writer, you have to read as often as you write. If you're going to write for 4 hours a day, you have to also have the time to read for four hours a day.
Oh, I'm constantly reading. I mean, when I'm in the bathroom, I'm reading labels just to read something.
Well, because you also pull from other influences, and you let that adapt your own personal style. You don't go and plagiarize somebody else's work, and you don't go taking over their style.
That's what I was doing when I was 15, and that's why I...
you have to start somewhere. Yeah. You have to start somewhere, but then you keep adding more and more influences, and you start to develop your own, and that's really what the beauty is of that. You have to be able to take all these influences and say, well, I like this, maybe I should try it out and see how I like it, and if so, then I also like this, and that person's got a really good way of doing that, maybe that'll work for me. And
yeah, really what you got to do, I found that it's very helpful to read those books on writing,
mm-hmm.
and specifically for whatever genre you're interested in, find out, you know, who has written any books on that topic, and just get ideas from wherever you can about, you know, how to get started, and specifically when I was up in Arkansas during Hurricane Gustav, I was writing in my, I wasn't writing fiction, but I was writing in my journal every day, A, because I had nothing else to do, and B, I was really sort of refining the work because I kept reading Just a Geek by Will Wheaton over and over again, and his style of storytelling is phenomenal,
mm-hmm.
and they're just all these little personal anecdotes, and it just really lit a fire under my ass, you know, it's like, I want to write as good as Will Wheaton.
Dana?
Yes?
You're fangirling again.
No, I'm being perfectly honest. I'll tell you.
You're starting to slide. No, you're starting to slide.
You'll know when I'm.
But getting back to the point is that, and what I'm currently writing now, I know that I have a motivation issue, and something that I've found for previous things that really helps, and especially if you're just doing something for fun. Right now I'm writing about a specific group of characters in a specific situation. But I also have plans to do like little snapshots, little ficlets, if you will, of these characters in other situations, possibly in the past, possibly in the future, just little one-shot deals that don't really require too much... going to sound horrible, don't really require too much preparation, too much thought to do.
Don't they call those drabbles on the internet?
Actually, there's
gives you little prompts, and then you have to write something that's about three or four paragraphs.
Well, here's the thing. There's this whole list of what these little things are called, and they're usually dependent on the word count. Like, and I don't... This is all off the top of my head. I could be completely wrong. Like, 100 words is a drabble. 500 words is a ficlet. There's this whole little chart, and I don't even remember what it is, but it doesn't really matter. But the thing is, you do these, I've found you do these little one shots, in between chapters, or when you find that you're a little bit stuck in the, in an ongoing plot. One, so you keep in character with these characters, albeit in a different situation, might not even be a canon situation. And two, it keeps you from getting rusty and keeps you from losing interest. It keeps your attention and allows you to have that creative outlet, keep your steam going, and then when you're able to
even
get back to
it. Even just journal, you know, just write yourself, whether you make it public or not. Write and try to tell take a memory from your childhood or something like that and just, you know, write it in, you know, in first person or third person, however you decide you want to do it. Just do something. That's the best advice, is just always be writing something, even if it's something totally retarded. It's exactly like exercising.
Exactly.
If you stop, you're going to want to stop forever.
Yeah. And what I was, and getting even further back into what I was talking about, I was hoping, and I'm at this point in time, I'm not entirely certain that this is going to happen still, but I was hoping that what this current story that I'm doing is going to get me into such a highly motivated state that I would be able to participate in Nano.
Speaking of motivation, that's something that, why don't you go ahead and explain that?
Yeah, Dan, are you familiar with National Novel Writing Month?
I've heard of it repeatedly. There's a lot of people I know who do it. I am never going to do it because, as I say, it takes me 2 or 3 years to get past 10 chapters, and I'd never be able to do it. I know I wouldn't. It would drive me crazy.
National Novel Writing Month is a website. It's an organization that started up this program for, you know, budding writers or current writers or anybody who partially to help with motivation, partially to help with creativity, and partially just because, you know, writing is awesome. It's National Novel Writing Month is during the month of November, and they've been doing this for quite a few years now. During the month of November, you can sign up, and this is all on the honor system, so you do this because you want to do this. You sign up, and you write something. It can be whatever you want. It could be a fanfic, it could be original fiction, it could be whatever you want it to be. But you have to write 50,000 words or more from November 1st to November 30th. And if you do that, and you win.
you get a cookie!
Well, you get this little image that says I won National Novel Writing Month, and it's really for your own good. But it's for your own satisfaction. It's not to impress other people, although some people try and use it to impress other people. Like, I do this, and you should too because I'm a better writer than you. But that's not what the point is. The point is for you to get the satisfaction.
Excuse me? Did you? You just threw a gauntlet. But hey, that can be writing motivation, too, if you just go up to a fellow writer and say, well, I'm better than you.
No, I was giving an example of what people would say, Dana.
Oh.
No, I wasn't saying I'm a better writer than you. I'd say, well, other people... It doesn't matter.
You would never say a thing like that because it's not true. Anyway.
Love you too, Dana. But it's a wonderful... It's a wonderful idea, and I tried to participate in about 2 years ago, and I hit that motivation block, and I stopped.
Yeah.
I know people who have done it and completed it, and it's just an amazing experience. So, if you're a writer, if you're interested in helping yourself get the motivation, and if you think you can churn out 50,000 words throughout the course of November, go take a look at NaNoWriMo and see what you can do.
It's a web address.
We'll post a link to it in the show notes. Yeah.
All right. I got some gaming news, sort of really, really short. I just got some release dates, actually.
Oh, release dates are always fun.
Well, out now, obviously, is Dragon Quest IV. Again, thank you, Quickstar. Really, really gave me my fix, man. I was totally jonesing for that game. Dragon Quest IV is out now. Like, I've mentioned this in earlier episodes. I haven't finished it yet. You won't get a full review right now, but I will say there are a couple of things that are kind of annoying. but it looks and sounds great, and it's just a really fun game in general. It's a really great entry into the Dragon Quest Dragon Warrior series, and it had been on the NES, and I love it, and I'm hell-bent on beating it, and it's got a little bit of additional content at the end is what I hear. So if you're a Dragon Warrior or Dragon Quest fan, get this one. It's really, really cool. It's for the DS. Also for the DS, actually, that's all I'm going to mention today. October 14th. This is really just something that I personally want, but some of you are crazy otaku Japanese anime freaks, and you know, if you really want to learn Japanese, you know, they've got some language games for the Nintendo DS. You know, they've had My Spanish Coach and My French Coach and My Italian Coach. Well, now they've come out with My Japanese Coach, and I'm like, yes, thank you, God, because I've been studying Japanese on my own since late last year, and it's been a lot of fun, and I'm kind of plateauing where I am right now, so I kind of need that extra push. Eventually I'm going to take a class, but this is going to be a very useful tool. It teaches you how to write all the kana, and the DS has a microphone attachment, so it can actually compare how you say words to an actual native Japanese speaker, which is really cool, so you'll be able to pick up on the accent. It gives you little mini quizzes, mini games, things like that to help you remember. And it's also got a built-in Japanese-English dictionary, so if you ever end up in Japan, you can just sort of take this with you. So it's very useful. And October 21st is Teresia, that game that I mentioned before that's quote-unquote like Shadowgate. It's sort of a horror puzzle game. The plot is kind of like it's sort of like a split plot. You know, you can do one of two different things. You're either the victim of some guy who's performing experiments on you, or you're that guy. And I haven't really heard a lot of news about it, but it is for pre-order on Amazon, and I'm gonna check it out, and I'll tell you whether or not to buy it. And then we've got a release date for Chrono Trigger, November 25th.
Wow,
that's going to be one of those things that I start begging people for.
Hint, quick star.
No, he's been more than generous. He's
well, you already took advantage of him once.
Well, it's not that I don't want to take advantage of him again. It's just, you know, no, it was God. I still can't get over that. That just blows my mind that he did that.
That was absolutely
so
awesome.
Sweet. That was so sweet. So yeah, so Chrono Trigger's coming out on November 25th. I promise I'll have my own money by then.
Hey, that reminds me. Hey, Quickstar, my birthday is coming up
in
about...
Oh, it is not!
7 months, but...
May?
No,
feeding off our listeners.
No, I wouldn't do that. You would, but I wouldn't.
The things you say. I mean, they're true. But still! You got any news for us, buddy?
I'm actually not, I don't really have a lot of news for, tonight. I do have this one thing. It's probably not news. Some of you might already know about this, for the upcoming Star Trek movie that's coming up. They've been doing, the shooting and everything. I just found out because I'm not following this at all, despite what kind of a fan I am. But Simon Pegg was cast as Scotty, and that is a really, really awesome thing. Simon Pegg, obviously, from Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, starting to do a lot more movies on this side of the pond. But I didn't realize that he was cast as Scotty. I think that would work really well. But
well, I don't really follow the whole Star Trek thing. I am just recently getting back into Next Generation after 17 years. But
I wonder why.
It's not at all because I'm fangirling Will Wheaton. I do not know what you are talking about. Massive sarcasm quotes. So,
anyway.
That'll be cool. I got a couple of book things that I was asked to mention. Peter David's got two new books out. That I haven't read yet, and I'm really, really sorry because I've been poor and haven't had access to a library. And okay, I've got no good excuse.
Well, has he been listening to Made of Fail?
No, but I asked him, I'm going to send him a link to this one as soon as I'm done with it, and I asked him if if there was anything specifically he wanted me to mention. So he's like, oh, hi, books. And I'm like, okay. So he's got, they're both kind of for younger readers. Tigerheart, is from what I've been reading, is kind of a Peter Pan story. Just kind of reimagined. The main character's name is Paul Deer, and his, you know, as opposed to Wendy Darling. Uh-huh. Through the summaries that I've been reading, I guess Paul's father has been telling, you know, for his whole life, he's been telling him stories of, you know, he can't really call it Peter Pan or Never Neverland, so it's The Boy and Any Place. So it's all, you know, fighting pirates and sidekick pixies and stuff like that. And
nice.
So tragedy happens to Paul Deer, and so he decides he wants to go on a quest to any place, find the boy, and, you know, just, you know, it's basically, I don't know what happens because, like I said, I haven't read it. I promise I'm going to fix that. But it looks like a really fun kind of reimagining of Peter Pan, and the reviews that I've been reading are all giving it, you know, fantastic reviews. It's a wonderful addition to the Peter Pan story, and it's totally worthy of anything J.M. Barrie would have written. The other one that he just did is illustrated with Colleen Duran, and it's called Mascot to the Rescue. And the story is, there's a sixth grader named Josh who reads comics, and everything that happens in this comic book, he reads this comic called Captain Major. Mm-hmm. And everything that happens to Mascot, Captain Major's sidekick, in the comic books also happens to Josh. So Josh finds out one day that Mascot is slated to die in the next, you know, issue of Captain Major. So he's like, you know, oh my God, I've got to fix this. So he takes one of his friends to go off and find the creator of Captain Major, whose name is Stan Kirby, which I thought is hysterical, because Peter's pretty much known for his, you know, he brings the funny. He can do dark and tragic really well, and that's when I really like his writing. But he's hysterical and just an inveterate punster. so I think this is going to be one of his sillier, more fun works, and it is for junior high aged kids. So, but it looks like something I'd want to read too. So I'm definitely gonna try to pick it up when I got a chance.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. I'm really anxious to read it. Okay, so we got the book news out of the way. We got the movie news out of the way. No music news?
No.
Oh, but you wanted to say something about the show itself.
Oh yeah, I've just felt that I think we should just phase the death curse out of the content of the show, because it honestly.
Haven't started getting all personal about it.
No, it's not even that. It's just honestly, it was a joke that, you know, kept being referred to, and it probably shouldn't have lasted this long. It was just, you know, something funny. Hey, somebody dies every time we do the show. I mean, obviously people are going to
die. Which is still true, but we're not going to mention it unless it's going to be somebody who's really, really huge and influential and personal to us.
Yeah, because it's our show.
And we celebrities die all the time, man. We can't just go listen to every one of them.
Yeah. otherwise, it'd be just made of obituaries.
Oh, that's cold.
What? That's what it would be. It would end up being, that's all the show would be about. It says, oh, hey, who died this week?
Tonight on CNN.
Yeah, yes. And so we're just going to phase that out, so.
Kevin, is this because you didn't want to sing the jingle? The links you'll go to avoid jingles.
You know, I vetoed that. You still haven't come up with a 2/3 vote.
We came up with it. We had enough.
You got two people out of, I don't know, how many, 57 listeners we've had on average? Two people have said, yes, okay, do a jingle. That is not 2/3.
It's, well, if you take
that's
one
Bush
of your
math
people,
right there.
If you take one of your people and add them to my two people, then that's 2 out of 3, and I win. That's Bush administration logic. I could be president.
Yeah. Well, apparently anybody can.
Alright.
But that's something else altogether.
Why don't you go
this episode, The Death Curse...
Retired.
...is the Death Curse.
Yeah, the death of the Death Curse is the Death Curse. I'm not following. Alright, shut up, Dana.
Alright.
Why don't you read our fan mail?
Alright.
Bottom of my root beer.
Mailbag.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
All right, well, we've got a couple different things. One, first off, Noel, you did have a really good suggestion for a topic. That's something that we probably want to devote a whole segment to, because it would just be...
I'll tell them what
he whole conversation. Well, he asked us to discuss what we're watching this television season, but that would be such a huge answer depending on who's there.
Let's get to that in episode 11. Let's promise that.
Promise 11?
Promise 11.
Well, by that time, it might be another new season.
Well, it's going to be in, kind of mid-November, all goes well.
That's true. Sweeps.
Yeah, there you go.
All sweeps.
It'll work out fine.
Yes. Okay.
But just fair warning is I don't watch TV, so this is going to be mostly on you.
No, I don't watch TV at all either. So we'd probably call in like Adam and Jillian, who would probably talk about nothing but Project Runway, and
Adam talking about Project Runway.
Jillian.
No, I like my idea.
Okay, Adam, we'll bring you in just to talk about Project Runway. How about that? But yeah, no, it's not that we're ignoring you. It's a really good topic, but it's something that we want to devote a lot of time to. We want to do it right.
Yeah.
So we'll do a whole segment on television.
We've got new people.
We've got well, I would talk about Xander, who wrote us an email, but he twice in all caps said do not read on show, so we're not gonna
want you to read that segment on the
really because he said it twice and it kind of makes
like,
me think
it was the border. He was just asking for a link, so it was just the border between
if he gets upset because we read part of it and he wanted like the whole thing not to be read, it's on your shoulders. Okay.
No, did you notice how it was like it bordered like there were do not read on air and it was like one paragraph
it
between
looked
them?
Ambiguous to me. It looked ambiguous to me.
Okay, what else you got?
Well, I also had one person respond to the Someone on the Internet is Wrong jingle. Someone goes by the name of Blink Liz, who said that she was going to be working on a tune for the lyrics of Someone on the Internet is Wrong. Hasn't given us the song yet, but...
yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing it, and I'm sure...
It probably takes a while, but she's working on it, and so hopefully by the next episode, we'll have something from Liz.
Yeah, I'd really love to hear that, and I'd love to finally be able to tell, I don't know his real name either. I hate calling people their screen names. It really drives me crazy, but Lots42 on LiveJournal is the author of Someone on the Internet is Wrong, and I'm sure he's going to be really excited to hear it.
Yeah. So, anyway, she also wanted to mention our multiple uses of panels from XKCD in our show note pictures, which is a really awesome webcomic, and obviously because we've linked it twice now, I think. Has it been twice? It's been twice.
I don't know.
So first episode, sixth episode, I think that was it. Anyway, but yeah, XKCD... says us guys just get cooler and cooler. Well, I mean, from where we are now, there's nowhere to go but up.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really blows my mind that people are like starting to, you know,
people that we don't know.
We fooled them into thinking that we're popular. It's awesome.
Yeah, quiet. We don't want
shush. Secret identity noob.
Yeah, dude.
That was joke number 3.
Glad you've been keeping count. Yes, inside jokes are wonderful. Alright, but unfortunately, that brings us to the bottom of this episode's mailbag. So, don't forget, you write us a letter.
Tell
us you like us. Tell us that we suck. We'll read that one too, obviously. And
yeah, we miss you, Anonymous. What the hell?
Come on, where were you?
Are you busy protesting the Scientologists? Too busy to write to us, huh? Huh?
Are you just too busy on 4chan or something? Come on.
Well, I've seen people who sound like you all over YouTube.
Yeah. Very reminiscent. But
you know what I found on one of my YouTube videos?
What did you find on one of your YouTube videos?
Someone is insistent. You remember the Angry Video Game Nerd's Top Gun review where he could not land the plane?
Uh-huh.
Well, I was watching that after I bought his DVD, and it kind of inspired me. I'm like, you know, I never managed to do it either. Let's see if I can do it. And I don't have an 8-bit Nintendo anymore. I have to play it on an emulator on my computer. So I'm like, okay, guys, grab the video camera and let's see if I can land the plane in Top Gun. It's either going to be really funny or it's going to be like, oh, holy crap, I did it. And oh, holy crap, I did it. My first try, like, you know, in God knows how many years. And I landed the plane. And I posted on YouTube. And every few weeks I get, you know, comments from people, well, you totally faked it. Yeah, okay. And I'm like, well, I know this because it's an you know, you're playing it on the computer and you could have just had that set up already. And I'm like, okay, you know I did it. I've got witnesses. I've got an actual Nintendo controller that's been modified to, you know, with
a
USB
thing.
Port at the end. Kevin, you've seen me play on it. You know,
it's
not cheating. It's not, it's exactly like a cartridge and a console, except
you
it's
kicked
just
my ass at Tetris in it.
Except it's, I want to post that thing where I kicked your ass at Tetris.
Why haven't you? Go ahead. Sure. Go ahead.
Let's use that as our visual for this episode.
Oh, it's kind of for like a little tiny part. I don't know. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I love kicking your ass.
There you go.
That's a major theme. Get the feline trebuchet. That's joke number 4.
Goddamn feline trebuchet. Anyway, but yeah, that brings us to the end of the mailbag. So don't forget that if you send us a letter, send us an email, we will read it on air and go right ahead. Send us what is our email address, Dana?
made_of_fail@yahoo.com. One of these days, maybe I'll sing it.
There you go. And don't forget, we also have a live journal community, which this podcast is posted to. You can comment anonymously, as we have found out.
But we screen them. But we probably unscreen them anyway, just because we love them.
Regardless of what it says.
Yeah.
It allows us to enjoy the beauty of the post
many,
before
many
anybody else does.
Many viewpoints. We're all missing.
But if you have a live journal account, all the better. But if you don't, you can comment anonymously. Where is that, Dana?
http://community.livejournal.com/made_of_fail_pc. I didn't
say. Okay, maybe you shouldn't.
I didn't say I was going to be in any kind of key.
Maybe we should get Jillian to sing that.
Yeah, let's have Jillian.
She can actually sing.
So hot, asshole.
Anyway, but I do believe that brings us to the end of the episode. This has been the episode 8 of Made of Fail. Thank you for listening. And just because I'm gonna do something special here, just because I've always wanted to do it. Do it, Rockapella.
Yeah. Well, she sneaks about the world. Bumbling down to Belize, take you for a ride. The most China, tell me where in the world is
Carmen San Diego?
It's all in South Korea, baby. Don't it come cry uncle from the Red Sea to Greenland? Will they sing in the blue? Oh, will they never Arkansas? Steal the meat come from a duck up. Tell me where in the world is
Carmen San Diego?
She go from Nashville to Norway, but
pocket bourbon trooper. Missing misdemeanor when she stole the meat from Lima. Tell me where in the world is
Carmen San Diego.
Well, tell me where in the world is Carmen San Diego. Tell me where in the world is Carmen San Diego.
Should be.